So let's first just please recall your deepest purpose for coming to this retreat. And then let's just have a moment of meditation, just settling into your deepest purpose. Okay? Just kind of relaxing into your deepest purpose for being here. So it can make itself known. Okay, thank you. Can you hear that gong okay? You can hear that? That's a good one. Okay. So I want to thank Ellie and all of the staff of the Barry Center for all that they do to and everyone who's volunteering here and helping in any way for all that they do to support our practice. And I want to thank all of you for coming. We're going to maintain noble silence during the retreat. Did Ellie mention that? And basically, it just helps the practices that we do settle in much better into our mind and body, I think. So we'll maintain silence between teaching sessions. During teaching sessions, I'll share things, and we'll also have some discussion with each other. But then between sessions, it's silence, also at meals. And the one exception is, and noble silence will begin tonight after this session. Is that okay? But the one exception is also people travel from distance and need also to connect with each other. So during the dinner break, which is from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. each day coming up, 5 to 7 p.m., that long dinner break, it'll be permitted to talk then to, you know, if you need to or want to connect with somebody. But I would say, please, only outside, not indoors, and not within any of the dining hall area, because it's just like an echo chamber. So it takes us right out of the retreat. It's so cacophonous. So to be able to just talk quietly with someone during that time outside provides, I think, what's needed. Is that okay? There was a handout that I think the handouts that are out on that bench out there to pick up, they were also emailed to you, weren't they?
It was one page. One page was emailed.
Oh, the rest were not emailed?
I just got one page.
Did everybody just get one page?
No.
I think maybe what was emailed to you was called Five Principles of SCT Meditation. Did everybody read that?
Yes.
Were you all good?
Yes.
Was anybody bad? Okay, it's okay. But if you have not read that, please read it. And all the other handouts are out there on that bench now. The first main one is that one, Five Key Principles. So be sure to see that, because that gives you a quick sense of things and really prepares you for the retreat. So you really have a sense of it. The other handouts, the main one is called SCT Meditation Handout, and that's the thick one. And I'll be covering a number of those meditations in this retreat. So you'll want to have that handout to be able to refer to, consult, read between sessions, and be able to keep imprinting what we're doing in the sessions if you'd like. That handout, SCT meditation handout, supports that. There's another one that's a prayer sheet. So sometimes I'll say some prayers, and if you bring that sheet with you, you can say them along with me if you'd like, or just hum along. It's fine. Then there's another sheet called Tonglen Meditations, and we'll probably get to them later in the retreat. And then there's another handout called Offering Meditation, and we may not get to that this retreat. Sorry. I didn't know how much we would cover until we got closer to here. So is that kind of clear enough? Just be sure to pick them up out there. So on that prayer sheet, there's two prayers that I often say at the beginning of the retreat, and also the beginning of our days. And that is prayer of refuge and bodhicitta. Bodhicitta is the aspiration and commitment to awaken fully to our deepest potential for the sake of everyone, actually. That's bodhicitta. So I'm just going to say them now, and you're welcome to hum along, or if you have the prayer sheet and want to say them with me, you're welcome to. Okay? In the Buddha, the Dharma, and supreme spiritual community, I take refuge until full enlightenment. By the power of generosity and all six perfections, may I realize Buddhahood for the benefit of all beings. And then the next prayer is prayer of ultimate refuge in bodhicitta. I take refuge in the expanse of space, primal awareness, and unconfined capacity, which is the nature of everyone's mind, for the sake of all. So, in this retreat, we're going to explore ways to access qualities of our innate awakened nature. I mean, that's how we advertise the retreat. So that's what we need to deliver on. So we're going to explore ways to become receptive to, or open to, access qualities of our innate awakened nature, which is also called Buddha nature, or Tathagatagarbha in Sanskrit. Dzogchen Shekpe Ningbo in Tibetan. And we're going to do that through practices that are adapted from Tibetan Buddhist Dzogchen tradition, Nyingma Dzogchen tradition. So they're basically practices that I adapted from that tradition. In that sense, they're quite traditional, but they're also quite adapted to help kind of meet Western minds. And then I had a lot of help with that from people over the years helping me with that, including many retreatants, many people who work closely with me, and a number of them are here today as well, and I thank you for that. So we're all benefiting from that collaborative effort. There's a Dzogchen teacher, that's the tradition of Tibetan Buddhism that I'm kind of drawing especially from. There's a Dzogchen teacher named Tenzin Wangyal Rinpoche, who wrote something about Buddha nature that I find very evocative. I'd like to share it. Would that be okay? He wrote, "Unbounded space is a great gift. Infinite awareness is a great gift. Natural spontaneous warmth is a great gift. These gifts are already in us at this moment. As you recognize this, you come to know this. And this knowing becomes the greatest resource in your life." Unquote. So what Tenzin Wangyal is saying is that, just to put it in other terms, the basic space of our being is undivided from powers of awakening, which are powers of awareness and warmth and compassion and love and wisdom, discernment, responsiveness, and equanimity, and more. So the basic space of our being is undivided from those powers of awakening. And that is our deep nature, our Buddha nature, or also sometimes called the nature of mind, the nature of our fundamental being, really. That's our Buddha nature. So, and again, you might say, well, John, how do you have the right to talk that way? Well, all I'm doing is sharing from this tradition in terms I'm trying to make adaptable or accessible. So these underlying powers of our being, or powers of our basic, the basic space of our being and basic awareness of our being, these powers are always available below our surface consciousness. But they've been obstructed by our habits of thought and reaction. So how are we to access these underlying powers if they're obstructed by our ordinary habits of thought and reaction to things? Is that question clear? Seems like the natural question, doesn't it? So from a Tibetan Buddhist perspective, particularly from this tradition of Dzogchen, we need to purify the mind of its tendency to identify almost continually and almost fully with narrow senses of self and their reactions, which impede the underlying powers of our Buddha nature. Do you want me to repeat that?
Yes.
Sorry, it's just how it is from the perspective of this tradition I'm speaking from. We need to purify the mind of its tendency to identify so fully and so continually with narrow senses of self and their reactions that impede the underlying powers of our Buddha nature. So how to do that? In the tradition I'm speaking from, we do that mainly through taking up forms of practice that bring, that evoke or bring out the power, the underlying powers of our Buddha nature, our deep nature, which are powers of warmth and loving energy and compassion and insight and so forth. So that those powers of our deeper nature can help the mind release its self-grasping narrowness and begin to relax into the infinite openness and lucidity and warmth of its underlying nature, Buddha nature, and to find refuge in that for oneself and for others. In other words, in simple terms, according to the Buddha's teaching of the Four Noble Truths, and in particular the Second Noble Truth, inner causes of suffering, we've all, more than we've been conscious, have been living at a surface level of our consciousness, endlessly generating patterns of thought and reaction, reifying those patterns of thought and reaction, so which means that we're not conscious that they're generated by our own mind, and then reacting to them as if they just are the world or are the reality or are who everyone else is. This one is really annoying. That's what she is. I'm not pointing at anybody in particular. Trying to give an example. This one is really annoying. That's just what he is. And of course, that's why I'm annoyed at him. That's what I'm talking about. So, in a sense, our minds generate the world we're experiencing, and then immediately forget that they've done that or are doing that, not noticing that they're doing that. And we do it together and then mutually react to each other's projections upon each other, as if that's all that we are. This one's just annoying. This one's my friend, so this one matters and the others don't so much. Or as if what we're talking about is reality itself, when what we're actually expressing is our reactions to the constructions of our own mind that have been reified and we can't even recognize that they are. So in the name of knowing everybody, oh, I know her really well, she's this or that, but maybe I've spent years reacting to my own images of her. Now I think I really know her well, but how well, how deeply do I know her? Who and what is she beyond my endless projections and reactions? So that's basically what I'm talking about here at the start of the retreat, is the tradition and traditions that I'll be sharing from, the understanding and experiences in those traditions, that there's actually a depth to our being, a basic openness and tremendous power of awareness and its qualities. There's actually a depth to our being that we could begin to become more receptive to if we really want to. And that would begin to show us that others have that same depth, and that we've been spending an awful lot of our time throughout our lives misreacting to everyone constantly, including all the very limited images of ourselves. So that's a kind of a radical awakening, but that's one quick, simple way of describing the Buddha's teaching of the second noble truth, inner causes of suffering. And also pointing to the third noble truth, the fact that there's a dimension of freedom from those inner causes, a depth dimension to us, in which, in a sense, that depth dimension itself is already, in a sense, free of all that. So if we could begin to access it or become receptive to it, it would deepen us. And one sign of that is that we start to actually experience the depth of others. And one sign of that is that we start to realize how kind of remarkably limited and superficial my thoughts of everyone were. It's not that they have no validity at all, it's just that they're very limited. And typically when we're really committed to our thoughts of who everyone is, we're not recognizing how limited they are, how much more there is to everyone. Does that sort of make any sense? It's not that, when I ask that question, by the way, does that make sense? It's not that you have to agree with it. It's just, is it basically making sense? Is that clear enough that I can go on like that? So to access the powers of our deeper nature, Buddha nature, or depth dimension of us, we need to purify the mind of its tendency to identify and get so caught up in its habits of self-clinging thought and reaction and what they make of everyone. But how do we do that? I mean, we're pretty caught up in them. So in order to do that, there are practices made available. So the traditional teaching is the Buddha kind of awakened out of that kind of nightmarish way of being, surface level of living and reacting. The understanding in Buddhist traditions is that he woke up, which required a lot of practice on his part. And having done so, he could then impart practices which would help those who have a strong interest in similarly waking up to do so. And from the perspective of the Tibetan tradition I'm drawing from, that involves learning how to tap into or become receptive to underlying powers of our depth that are already here, just like Tenzin Wangyal said. These powers are already here. They're already available. But the habits and patterning of the mind are also, moment by moment, obstructing them. So if the habitual patterning of mind could be disrupted, And if we were reoriented ourselves toward becoming receptive to these qualities of our depth, qualities of love, compassion, warmth, discernment, insight, responsiveness, resonance, becoming more receptive to them, they could help the mind begin to unravel the patterns it's been caught up in. Qualities of the depth dimension of our being can help the mind get more freed up. So the approach is not mainly to try to teach or train the mind to get control over it all, but rather to teach the mind that it can relax the grip enough to let underlying powers of awareness start to emerge more. Is that kind of clear? So that's the particular tradition that I'm sharing from. That's different than other Buddhist traditions. Most of us feel that these different traditions are quite complementary to each other, but they are also different. Some take a much more approach of really focusing the attention and strengthening ways of paying attention in fresh ways. And that's also part of this tradition, but that's viewed as supportive practice, whereas the central practice is one of becoming more receptive, of learning how to allow more of what's available in our depth, as Tenzin Wangyal described, to show itself and help with the process of becoming, for example, more mindful, or more present, more compassionate, things like that. So there are different ways of beginning to tap into the hidden powers of our Buddha nature in order to help begin to purify and heal the mind, and also to help it reunite with its deep nature and then become more present to others from there. So there are different ways within the tradition for that, ways of practicing. Traditional meditations and also prominently ritual practices. But one very simple way to begin to illustrate this process of entering into a practice that just helps the mind begin to relax its tight identification with its usual patterns and just begin to relax into underlying qualities that are already readily available. One very simple way of doing it that I want to share with you is just meditation with the sound, and here sound the sound of the gong. So what we're going to do in this meditation is been sitting a little while, so if you want to, you can loosen up at your seat a little bit. Okay. Whatever you need to freshen up. And then we're going to use the gong to help us. So I'm going to strike the gong. And the instruction is very simple, but please really listen closely to it. That is, just let the sound draw you into it more and more. So notice I'm not saying things like, really try hard to focus on the sound. I'm absolutely not saying that. So please don't translate what I'm saying into things like that. Just the exact wording, right? Just let the sound draw you into it more and more. And when you notice your mind wandering, beginning to think of other things, then upon noticing that, just let the sound draw you back to it, and again, draw you into it more and more. Is that clear? Really simple, right? So when I strike the gong, are you really going to try hard to pay attention to the sound? Is that the instruction? People are shaking their head. Very good. It's not the instruction. Because that's a familiar pattern, especially for us in Western and American culture, to try real hard to get control over it and get it done. And right, we're entering into a process now, starting right with this meditation with the gong, of entering into the opposite process of learning to let the powers of our being do what needs to be done and help open things up for us. Just letting the sound do it. Okay? So letting the sound draw you into it more and more. Just relaxing into it that way. And then when you notice you're thinking of other things, then let the sound draw you back to it and draw you into it again more and more. Good. So, as you let the sound draw you into it more and more, what qualities did you notice in that experience? So I know many people might say, oh, I was distracted, I was, you know, I didn't, whatever. I was having this trouble or that trouble, fine. But to the degree at any point in there, that you were just letting the sound draw you in more and more, even for just a few moments. What was that experience like? What qualities did you notice in that experience as you felt yourself being drawn in? Just try to name one quality. And you can just say it.
I felt expansiveness.
Expansiveness. Good, thank you. What else? Just try to name one quality.
Letting go.
Sorry?
A letting go.
A letting go. I'm going to repeat them so that it comes in the mic too. Yep.
Settling.
Good. Yeah. Sort of like soft or softening. Thank you.
Vivid clarity.
Vivid clarity. Okay, good. Thank you. What else?
Artistic.
Got fine. Yeah.
Connection.
Sense of connection.
Mysterious.
Simplicity. Also notice as we're hearing from people how that may also reconnect us with our own experience to notice more in it. What else?
Encompassing.
Sorry?
Encompassing.
A relief. sense of relief. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Peace.
Peace. Yeah.
Openness.
Openness. Yeah.
Kind of an absorption into with it. You know, not kind just an expansion, but
an absorption.
An absorption.
Great, thank you. Yeah.
A physical sensation of opening and releasing inward.
Okay. Physical sensation of opening, releasing. Yeah. Vibration of the heart. Okay, that's great. So that's a lot of qualities, isn't it? So did those qualities come from a process of actively working hard to try to manufacture them? Kind of like as if the mind thought, okay, I know what this is about. It's going to be about expansiveness or absorption or deep peace. So I'm going to make myself peaceful or expanded or something like that. That's not what happened, is it? Instead, the practice of letting the gong, letting the sound itself as we experience it, just draw us in more and more. Just letting it, in a sense, do it. What it does is it interrupts the ordinary patterning of the mind and permits underlying capacities of awareness to begin to emerge in a very natural way. Does that sound right? Qualities like those you named, which are qualities of our underlying awareness, or actually qualities of our Buddha nature, if you will. Others in other retreats that I've taught have said that that what they noticed as they were letting the sound draw them in more and more is they were more vividly noticing habits of mental wandering. Did that happen for any of you? That could be there too. Settling of the mind, as you said, a number. Deepening calm and peace, as you said. Inner rest, others have said. Transparency, well-being, joy. I was hearing a little bit of that through what some of you were sharing. Behind the words, some of you. Others have said, and this is also part of my experience, and see if this may not have been part of yours, is that the sense of separation, a sense of a self separate from the sound, a self clearly over here somewhere and the sound clearly over there and separate from each other starts to erode toward a sense of more of a sense of what might be called non-duality, just a little bit in that direction. So the practice is interrupting our ordinary dualistic patterning of mind by accessing these qualities of our Buddha nature, our underlying awareness. So clear enough so far? So that's an example of what we'll be doing throughout the whole retreat. Like every practice is passed down from tradition and then adapted. But the basic function of it is to interrupt, to which we may have some reactions because our ordinary way of being is being interrupted in some way, in order to permit underlying qualities of our basic awareness to start to emerge. So every practice will kind of be reminding us of that, well, that's what we're doing. Another key practice that helps us begin to settle into qualities of our deep nature and become more present to others from there is a practice that is called deeply letting be within our body and breath and mind. So in this practice, I call it letting be practice. We let the body and the breath draw us toward more unity with them. And then on that platform within the mind, like the gong meditation, can begin to erode our sense of separateness from the sound. Here in the letting be meditation, we let the basic openness and clarity and warmth of our underlying awareness begin to erode our sense of separateness from that. The basic openness, clarity and warmth of our underlying awareness, we let that begin to erode our sense of separateness from that. Kind of like with the sound of the gong. We start to let, just even a little bit, start to let our Buddha nature reunify us with it by learning how to let it do that. By, in a sense, through the guided meditation instruction, kind of getting out of the way a little bit. Letting things kind of settle out. And then settling back a bit into the basic openness and lucidity that's always here, as Tenzin Wangyal said. Always here, right here. As soon as we settle back a bit into it, we realize it's here. A basic openness and lucidity and warmth toward all. So do you want me to say a little bit more about that, or go right to the meditation?
Meditation.
Okay. So, again, it can just sort of freshen up a little bit in our place. If you need to stretch, I always do. So this will be just an introduction to a meditation of letting be. So we just sit in a relaxed way, back comfortably straight. And the eyes can be open and gazing downward a bit, if you'd like. And I'd like to begin with some abdominal breathing. We can just take a slow, deep breath, inhaling from the abdomen so it expands. Can everybody do that? Inhaling from the abdomen so you feel the abdomen expand? You can try that. And then you just exhale slowly and completely. And you can relax for a moment if you like after the exhale. And then just repeat that a few times. Again, just in slow, deep breath, inhaling from the abdomen so it expands. And then exhaling slowly and completely. Very relaxed. And then just relax for a moment if you'd like before inhaling. Just repeat that a few times, please. And now, while still breathing from the abdomen, so it expands, let the breath just settle into its own natural flow. And just feel the abdomen expand and contract with each breath. Just natural breath, breathing. Your eyes are open a bit, so it helps not fall asleep. And just let that feeling of the body moving with the breath draw you into that feeling more and more, breath by breath. Let the feeling of the body moving with the breath just draw you into that feeling more and more. Just relaxing into it. But with alertness, eyes open. Just relaxing alertly into that feeling of the body moving with the breath, breath by breath. Enjoying it if you like. And now notice any grasping within the mind, that is, any holding on to any sense of self or framework of thought. And let that feeling of grasping in the mind just relax deep within. Let the usual background kind of feeling of grasping within the mind just relax deep within. And with that, just let your mind settle back a bit inwardly into the background of its awareness, which is naturally wide open and luminous. Let the mind just settle back a bit and come to rest in the background of its awareness, which is utterly open and pervasive and luminous, like a sunlit sky. And as various thoughts and feelings arise, let them just process themselves within this sky-like openness and lucidity by just letting everything be. So just coming to rest in the background of awareness that's naturally wide open. And let any thoughts and feelings that arise just process themselves within that utter openness and lucidity. By just letting everything be. Just letting everything be. Just being. When the mind kind of closes up again and is holding on to a narrow sense of self or frame of thought and reacting to things, then when you wish, just let the mind again settle back into the spaciousness and lucidity in the background of its awareness, which is naturally wide open and luminous. And just let everything be. Letting everything just process itself. By relaxing into its background or ground. And letting it be. So after each meditation, it's good to just let the felt sense of it just continue to resonate. So again, just as the gong meditation we did can begin to erode our sense of separation from the sound, we can let the intrinsic openness and lucidity and warmth of our basic awareness, our Buddha nature, begin to erode our sense of separation from it, to let it start to reunify us with it, even just a little bit. So in that way, the letting be meditation that we just did helps us begin to settle into the source of the awakening qualities and energies that we'll be drawing upon in all the other meditations of this retreat. The source of the qualities like those you named after the gong meditation. Just beginning even a little bit to reunify with that source, the source of those qualities. And as that begins to happen even a little, it begins to give us more access to those qualities. Okay. So, I think it's been a long day for many of us, and many of us travel a long distance, so we'll probably end a little bit early, but I did want to just give everyone a chance. Is there anything within either of these meditations we did, the gong meditation or the letting be meditation, that something that it newly showed you or raised up for you? And also any questions? Something that either meditation newly showed you or raised up for you, or any questions? Yeah. Thanks, Matthew, for remembering that. So the retreat's being recorded, but when we come into discussion, it switches to a different